morning, KINS. New, it's Friday, the 11th of December, day before Truckers. Ken Woods is here. You like that smooth opening, huh?
That was great.
Yeah, okay.
Very professional.
Hey, you know, and you know it's live when it's like that.
That's right. Yes, we do. Absolutely.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Talk Shop presented by Reed Eck and CDH Painting. Thanks, guys. Oh, boy. Our quote this morning. Gotta love this one. Heraclitus, quote, "You never step in the same river twice. New waters are always flowing onto you."
That's a good thought. Isn't that, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same scenario, different setting. Whoops.
That's right.
I would imagine that's kind of halfway challenging and can be dicey for some of your more experienced staff. They come on a scene, okay, yeah, this is a 1940s construction. We've been in the neighborhood over the past couple of years, yada, 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 yada.
Right.
You go busting in knowing that you know and whoops.
It's not what you think it is
at all. How do you dummy experience out?
Yeah, those types of things where it looks like everything's just the same pattern construction as the rest of the neighborhood. And you're right. As soon as you get through that front door, things do not feel right, do not look right. And you're faced with whether it's, a possible grow house, a drug lab.
Well, okay, back down, big boy. Let's say it's a legal thing, right?
Let's say it's a legal thing.
And you've just been watching a lot of the remodeling shows.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different, maybe there's a sunken living room instead of,
right.
And you take one step and now you're, on your face.
Right. And, for us, a lot of the homes in the neighborhood, whether it's a Pearson home, whether it's something like that, where you're used to going in and you're used to this being on the left side, this on the right side, and, compound that with smoke where, you can't see a thing in front of you, but you just expect this is going to be where the kitchen is, this is going to be where the living room. And, if people come in, they do remodeling, they change things. Sometimes it's done legally, sometimes not. But it is a confusing things at times for our firefighters. And it compounds and just adds to some of the issues we deal with every day. But we always have to be prepared for the unexpected and adapt to it. And that's what we really pride ourselves on and train on is again, adapting to a situation, whatever it may be.
So how do you balance urgency with proceed at a safe pace?
Yeah, it's a risk assessment. When we get there, we want to make sure we do a 360-degree view of the structure itself. What are the things we can see from the outside? What type of occupancy is it? Number of stories? So those are the things on the outside we're looking for. Where is the fire coming out of, if there is fire? Where's the smoke coming from? Is it coming from vents in the attic? Is it coming from one side of the structure, a bedroom window, for instance? And there's always that urgency because we don't always know if someone is inside. We're always going to take the risk and search the facility, look for people no matter what. But you want to do it in a very methodical and planned method whereby everyone is on the same page and they're doing it as we try for training.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Ken, Measure Z, we've had Maggie Fleming was on yesterday. Mike Downey was on last week. Everybody seems to be kind of pleased with the way that's progressing. Same, too,
right.
with your end of the equation?
Same with the fire service. It's been a huge advantage and plus for the volunteer departments in Humboldt County. And again, there's, you know, 38 volunteer departments within the county. We were able to purchase air packs, which are essential tool for firefighting that a number of the smaller departments didn't have them, or the ones they had were very outdated and unsafe. So, you know, we've already purchased those, and it's just a great tool now that these volunteer departments have. They're in the process of purchasing turnouts, the protective equipment we wear in structure fires, also wildland gear that we wear for vegetation fires. So it's been a real plus, and it's helping to get those volunteer departments up to a basic level of safety where they never were before.
So what's the next cycle? If everybody has that base level, right, are you getting into rolling stock?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the next things is, purchasing some engines for departments. Their equipment is at times, you know, goes back to 70s, 80s, unsafe, well-worn equipment that, though they may not respond on a lot of calls, they still need fire apparatus that is going to work once they get there and even allow them to get there. So we will be looking towards apparatus in future rounds. Also, possibly training facility. You know, we have a training facility here in Eureka where we let other departments from around the county come in and use. But there's really nothing down in southern Humboldt or the eastern end of the county. And to be able to establish some sort of regional training facilities where volunteer departments could come and train would be a huge plus as well, and would help to continue to get everybody on the same page, because we all rely on each other. When we have those big fires, we're calling in help from outside. And if we're training together, working together on a regular basis, we're going to be that much more efficient on the fire ground.
Prioritizing, I would think that the equipment would have to be, I mean, you can know what to do, but if your hose is leaking, yeah, it's really not going to help you out terribly much.
No, it doesn't. You know, you have to have equipment that's going to be working and that people are familiar with. But you've got to start from a basic level of equipment that works, and then train people how to operate that equipment.
Is there a used market?
The fire service is very good at repurposing things. And,
oh, is that the phrase?
Yeah, repurposing, right. Yeah.
Well,
handing down.
Yeah, you hear a lot of that is. Kind of and we pass do that, through stuff.
You know, here at Humboldt Bay Fire, we pass down things to volunteer departments. We had an engine recently that we put out of service, and we donated that to Oreck. And for them, even though for us it was a 25-year-old engine, for them, it was 10 years newer to what they had anyway. So we try to do that. We try to help our neighbors, because when we need help, you know, they're going to be the ones that we're calling to come help as well. But, having equipment, even though it is old, a lot of times, as long as it's well taken care of, then there's still some good service use out of it. And a lot of the volunteer departments that don't run a lot of calls can still use some of that equipment. But having those basic items, again, that Measure Z allowed us to purchase, the turnouts, the air packs, are just key to that baseline level of safety that these people are volunteering. And you want them to have safe equipment, because they're there to help their neighbors.
Old and functional, kind of like senior staff.
Yeah, I was thinking of you and me at the time, actually.
You saw me laughing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it might be time for you to leave if you're starting to figure things out that quickly. Oh, but watch out when we get together.
Yeah, look out.
Oh. Are there other areas that are looking to a Measure Z concept as a funding mechanism, because they were in the same situation as what Humboldt County was a year or so ago? Is this going to be the new trend?
Yeah, I think we've already seen it in some of the other counties out there with specific tax measures directed at fire, for instance, and some of the other counties have passed half-cent sales tax that go to fire. Sonoma County right now is looking at consolidating some of their volunteer departments. They have a number of volunteer departments similar to Humboldt County, and particularly with the Valley Fire that went through the Lake County area, they're coming to the realization that they need to do a better job of supporting those local small volunteer departments. So they've now just this past week allocated $800,000 to their volunteer fire departments and looking to help them further consolidate and work together, support each other. And I think you'll see more of that in other areas, particularly as we've seen some of these huge fires in the state, whether it was the Butte Fire in Amador and Calaveras County, and again the Lake Fire, the Valley Fire in Lake County that did so much damage.
I would think if those weren't wake-up calls, ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those fires did a tremendous amount of damage, and the effects from the fire will be felt for years and years ahead. And when you go through Middletown, for instance, and so much of that area is just completely devastated, you know, right now, those people trying to rebuild their lives. But then you look at the tax implications where, you know, a fire department relies on property tax and there's no value left. There will be no property taxes for those little departments to try and survive.
KINS News and Information Times 8:30. We'll be back with more from Chief Woods.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. And he's not really sure where we're going, and neither am I on this show.
It's kind of the theme today, yes.
Yeah. Let's save the holidays for the last segment, okay? So we can kind of end on an upswing.
All right.
Are you seeing any kind of difference, anything, any trends, any weird stuff that is out of the norm of weird?
Well, for this area.
Weird question, not, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, this time of year, when we get weather, a lot of wind, the rain, we get a number of calls for what we call hazardous conditions, and those are primarily transformer explosions, power lines down. So when, you know, someone sees a line down in the street, we want them to obviously stay away from it, don't touch it. A lot of times it may be a cable line, a phone line, not necessarily a power line. But we want to be able to come out and verify it is so we can secure it and or call PG&E, have them come out if it is a power line. But just with the wind, a number of those types of calls, trees down, trees across the lines, those kind of things. And that's kind of the norm for this time of year for us, but it is an increase of calls. And it does tie up our units because if it is a power line down, we need to wait for PG&E to get there to secure the power. And a lot of times, of course, they're very busy and they're often doing a number of things. So our units will stay there on scene until they arrive. And once the power is secure, then we can leave. But we don't want to just obviously leave those power lines there where they're a hazard to someone.
Can't call in Andy's PSOs?
We can call, but I don't think it's going to help.
Or scope or something, you know, somebody
that's not. No, we have some of our own we call fire support, which are three of our folks. They're volunteers that are past the age of firefighting, but they're
or senior staff.
Yeah. Well, I'm in senior staff too.
See?
But they've been a real asset to us. They come out on those calls where we need traffic control, and they will direct traffic. They'll close off a street. If we can at times get them to help with a power line down, they will. But, you know, they're three very dedicated volunteers that really free up some of our folks to be able to respond on other calls. And they've just been a huge asset for us over the years.
Is that something, can you use more of them?
Yeah, we absolutely could. And, you know, we have volunteer firefighters, but we have these volunteer support folks that, again, they have been in the fire service for years. They're beyond their going into structures and fighting fire age, but they know how to be safe out there. They know how to direct traffic and how to keep vehicles moving in the right directions and not impeding emergency scenes. They regularly train on those types of things. And yeah, we can always use folks with experience that way.
If you haven't been a fireman.
Right.
But that's right. The area that tickles right. Your fancy.
Yeah.
Can you?
You know, if it depends on your past experience. One of the areas is
radio.
Our
local. Use me.
No, I don't think we want to be going to that extreme. Our liability insurance might go through the roof. But, you know, maybe broadcasting emergency notices would be better for you. And
maybe, yeah. I'll stand there possibly, on the corner and yell yeah, real loud.
That would work.
Good.
Right. We have a local CERT team, you know, which is in neighborhoods. You respond in your neighborhood, you check on your neighbors, you're able to shut off the gas, electricity, and that type of training is available for those that really have no experience in emergency type scenes. But for our fire support people, again, they have fire experience, they've been in the fire service, and so we don't have to do a lot of training with them, and they're really kind of a catch-all for a number of types of things. When we have a fire, for instance, and we suspect arson, they may come out and just maintain scene security and stay there overnight, and where our crews can get back in service, go back to the firehouse and continue to run calls. These guys are dedicated. They'll come out and they'll stay on a scene and watch it until the investigators can get there.
So you're saying I couldn't even stand in front of an empty lot?
Well, I think we might have to do some specialized training with you, but I don't know. We'll have to explore that further.
Yeah.
You might hurt yourself out there.
Yeah, bending down to pick up something.
Right.
Thanks. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods. Let's see.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Christmas, obviously, is a time when you guys hold your breath. Just because
yeah.
it always seems to happen, whether it's medical spikes
right.
or people not paying attention.
Right.
What is the biggest fear you have about the next 4 weeks?
It's obviously the fire danger increases when people are bringing Christmas trees into their homes. And, of course, with the drought, a lot of the trees are much drier than they have been in previous years. You know, we want people to be very conscious that those trees are dry. They are almost like hand grenades waiting to explode if they get a chance to ignite. So we want people to be careful. And, you know, get those trees out of the house as soon as Christmas is over, out of the house and disposed of properly. Don't just throw it in your yard. And it's amazing how many medicals fires we respond to, and we go in somebody's backyard and there's a tree or two trees or three trees from several Christmases ago. Dispose of those trees properly. Get rid of them. Don't set them up on top of your floor heater. You know, it's those basic common sense things that we want people to be aware of. If they have questions, we want them to call into our station, and we're more than happy to answer those questions, help them with how to be safe, and couple that with the number of suicides, which usually go up around the holiday time of year or two. So we just ask people, family members, friends, to check on their neighbors, check on their family members, make sure they're doing okay, and hopefully we can reduce some of those numbers as well.
Are there any national trends that are pleasing?
I think Yeah, the number of fires is going down nationally, the number of structure fires, which I think is you know, devoted to the sprinkler initiatives that are taking place in states, better smoke detectors. People are actually using some of their smoke detectors. They're not just taking the batteries off out of them because they go off at inconvenient times. So those fire prevention things, the message seems to be getting out there, and we're seeing a reduction in the number of fires. And that's great because, you know, those are the calls we go to that are the most hazardous, that have the greatest potential for loss of life. And there still are a number of fire deaths throughout the United States annually, but less fires, and that's going in the right direction.
What about with medical aids?
Medical aids continue to go up on a regular basis. Part of that is population. As the population gets older, you know, what we see here, a lot of it is the drug culture and the kind of problems that come with that. So medicals is becoming more and more prevalent every single day in the fire service across the United States.
Do you guys break it out, whether it's drug-related, medical aid, or age?
Yeah, we do not, because of really some of the HIPAA requirements and things that, you know, we can't really track.
Really,
we can separate. We can separate whether, you know, potentially it's a basic life support call versus an advanced life support call where we're using, you know, advanced methods of drugs and things like that. But we really are not able to categorize, you know, whether it was drug related issue versus a heart attack type thing, unless you went through every one of our reports and really dug down into the specifics.
What is a grease board in the conference room, just, you know, striking what
yeah,
it is, just
yeah,
to get
and
a
we,
sense
we can do
of,
that. We can do that in house, but to be able to spread that information out and share it, which would potentially compromise some of those HIPAA things, is makes it difficult for us.
Really, even just saying like 63% of what our responses were this past month were related
to
illegal drugs.
It's how we're able to track those reports in our software systems. And you know, when you go out to a medical, is it a paramedic type call? Is it a basic life support call? Is it a minor injury? We can track them that way. But as far as the, you know, specifics of how many heart attacks, how many drug-related calls that are related to heroin versus, you know, meth, we don't do that.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun that he's only back one more time. He understands the concept of filibustering to the end of the show without saying
I think
anything.
I made it.
You did.
I think you finished it
off,
though.
Merry Christmas, bud.
Merry Christmas.
See you all on Monday.